Our gospel story for today is so rich. There's so much going on in this text. I feel like there could be 3 or 4 sermons. And so I have to compartmentalize a bit. And I'm not going to talk about the healing today of these 2 women, even though I felt super drawn to it at the beginning of this week. Hence, we have this awesome bulletin picture of this woman reaching out. But I want to do a side note here, because these healing stories in the Gospels could be a little bit of a trigger, especially for me, because I feel like I just know too many awesome, wonderful, faithful people who are still waiting for healing. And so if you are stuck in that place and this brings up some weird stuff for you, I want to offer this prayer right now and know that my office is always open to you. So let us pray together. May God grant comfort in suffering. When you are afraid, may God give you courage. When afflicted, may God give you patience. When dejected, may God give you hope. And when alone, may God assure you of the support of God's holy people. Amen. Okay. So going back to this text, what I felt most drawn to preach to you today is the beginning of this story, the call of the disciple Matthew. And here he is, tax collector, in his booth, in his office, and Jesus says, "Follow me." And so he does. And that in itself is controversial, because tax collectors were not very popular. I guess they're still not very popular. But in Jesus' day, they were especially not popular. Often the tax collectors took a little more, a little extra, and they put it in their own pockets. Or they were in cahoots with the local authorities. Their allegiance was to Rome, this place far, far away, not the local community, especially the faith community. And yet here is Jesus with an invitation to this outsider, this tax collector, this non-religious guy, Matthew. And Matthew follows him. But the interesting thing is where does Matthew follow Jesus? Back to Matthew's house. Yes, following Jesus means eating dinner in his own house, at his own table, with his own colleagues, his former tax collector friends. It's weird. Because oftentimes I feel like in Christianity, in our faith, it feels like our call stories have to be this wild, audacious thing, where we get shipped far, far away and do adventurous stuff. Kind of like our first reading, where we hear this call from Abram and Sarai, and they are old, and yet God asks them to leave everything behind and wander out into the wilderness. And that's a big deal, especially because in this time and place, you did not leave your family of origin. Households were these multi-generational and patriarchal system. The extended family, the Beit Av, the father's house, typically consisted of multiple generations living together in this tiny place. You had grandparents and father and married sons and grandchildren all living together. But God told them to leave their kindred, their Beit Av, and venture out into the great wilderness. Call stories look different. No matter if we're called across the world or back to our very own dinner tables, God does always seem to stir up some trouble. You see, Jesus was eating with Matthew and his friends, and it caused a stirring from the religious community, and it turned into this classic church parking lot conversation. These Pharisees, these local religious leaders, like pull aside Jesus' disciples and say, "Hey, why is your teacher eating with these tax collectors and seedy folks?" And Jesus has this supersonic hearing, and he cuts them off, like, in the middle and says, "I hear you." And those who are well, they don't need me. They don't need a doctor. I came for those who are sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. One commentator said this phrase should actually be in all caps with a period after every word, Go and learn what this means. Jesus here is not actually being original. He's quoting a prophet. He's quoting Hosea, who was a wild prophet from a wild time, trying to convince the people that the stuff you do in worship is all well and good, but it's how you live out there that really matters. For God really cares how we treat our neighbors, how we treat the planet, and how we treat our very own bodies. You see, the problem with righteousness, the Gospel of Matthew deals with over and over and over again. The problem is, the rules are great to follow, and they serve us up to a point, but they cannot be the end game. The danger of righteousness is it convinces us that we don't need anyone else, that we are perfect and we have it all covered. But if our relationship with God is just about following the rules, then eventually we will fail. For part of being human means that sometimes we get sick. Sometimes we make mistakes. And as much as I hate to admit it, we all need help sometimes. It's just the truth of being human. Thankfully, we have a God who desires mercy, not sacrifice. And that mercy starts with ourselves. For God offers us forgiveness and mercy over and over and over again for the things we have done and the things we have left undone. And here Jesus is reminding those good-hearted, rule-following religious folk that just as we have been extended mercy, it's our call to do the same, whether it's at our own dinner tables or out in the wilderness. It's not our job to call people to task. And in the end, it's not the points we earn that matter. And so what would it look like to be a mercy detective, to go and learn what this means? Brian Stevenson, the director of the Equal Justice Initiative, wrote a book about 10 years ago entitled Just Mercy, about his work with clients on death row in the Deep South. It's an incredibly powerful read, and it was turned into a movie right at the beginning of 2020. Brian Stevenson writes at the beginning, "Each of us is more than the worst thing we've ever done. My work with the poor and the incarcerated has persuaded me that the opposite of poverty is not wealth. The opposite of poverty is justice. Finally, I've come to believe that the true measure of our commitment to justice, the character of our society, our commitment to the rule of law, fairness, and equality cannot be measured by how we treat the rich, the powerful, the privileged, and the respected among us. The true measure of our character is how we treat the poor, the disfavored, the accused, the incarcerated, and the condemned. We are all implicated when we allow others to be mistreated. An absence of compassion can corrupt the decency of a community, a state, a nation. Fear and anger can make us vindictive and abusive, unjust and unfair, until we all suffer the absence of mercy, and we condemn ourselves as much as we victimize others. The closer we get to mass incarceration and extreme levels of punishment, the more I believe it's necessary to recognize that we all need mercy, we all need justice, and perhaps we all need some measure of unmerited grace." It's true, isn't it? We all need mercy. We all need this measure of unmerited grace. And the more that we can remember this, the more we will encounter Jesus, and the more that the world will meet Jesus through us. I wonder, where do you feel God calling you to right now? Perhaps it's to be a voice of justice in your place of work. Maybe it's wearing rainbows and dancing in the Pride Parade. Maybe it's giving a listening ear to a loved one in your life. Maybe it's purchasing a set of underwear for Clothesline, our mission of the month. Or maybe it's simply giving yourself a little more compassion when you get dressed and your pants don't exactly fit the way they used to. But how can we take seriously Jesus' ask to go and find out what this means. And I wonder what surprising places this question will take you. Where will mercy pop up in your life, and wherein will you be asked to extend mercy in a new way? No matter what, may you know, as you follow God's call to the wilderness, or perhaps back to your own dinner table, may you know and trust that this mercy is here for you, always. Amen. Thanks be to God.